Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146, presents Lynn Samuels.
No, I can't figure. I just love it. 20 years old, isn't it? But I just, what did they call that? Is that like arena rock? That's what he, but yeah, I like that. I like anthems and, you know, like John Cougar Mellencamp before he discovered the fiddles. You know, when he turned into like some fucking wimp like everybody else. When he was really John, when he was John Cougar Mellencamp. It should have made him keep his middle name, you know? I always liked, you know, everybody knows that story about, you know, when they found him, you know, they said, Jesus, look at you. You can't be John Mellencamp. Faggy name like that. So they made him be John Cougar. And then as he got famous enough, he said, John Cougar Mellencamp. He really wanted his own name. And he was fine then. It was when he got rid of the Cougar altogether. When he got famous enough, you know, that he knew he could get... That's... And then, you know, then he turned into like Bob Dylan. You know, with the hippies playing the stupid violins. So Sammy Hagar never found a hippie with a violin. Thank God! All right, so like if you're in California, you're screwed because you've got that John, that thing. That's a bad storm. And we're screwed for the weekend. Didn't stop the fact that there's nobody here at work today. I love how these three-day weekends get to be four-day weekends. You notice that? And if you're young enough, you don't care, because I was talking to our receptionist yesterday, to Nicole, who is... You know, when you say that a woman is beautiful, it doesn't begin to describe her. She's like beautiful squared, beautiful to the max. You know, it's not going to last because she's Jewish, right? Isn't she Jewish? You know, which means she'll be fat. She was Puerto Rican, she'd be fat by the time she was, you know, 28. But, you know, she's Jewish, she'll last till 35. Unless she has plastic. But this girl is just gorgeous. And she doesn't seem to know it. You know, there's nothing that ruins somebody handsome or beautiful more. More than when they walk around like, oh God, I'm so gorgeous. I knew a guy. He was the best friend of some, the drunk I was with for 17 years. And this guy was so handsome that you could like fall down dead on the floor. I mean, the only person I've ever seen that came close to being as good looking as this guy was the one time I actually saw John F. Kennedy Jr. on the street. You know, who I didn't realize it was him till I, all I saw was, oh, what a beautiful man. And then when, you know, we were walking opposite direction. And then when I had passed him, I said, oh my God, that's JFK Jr. And, that was when his wife had supposedly broken his arm or something. So I turned around, and lo and behold, because his arm was in a sling, which is the only way that I was positive it was him. You know, otherwise I would have spent my whole life saying, God, was that really John F. Kennedy Jr.? But this guy I knew was right up there with that, and he drank like a fish. And he used to get drunk and just we'd walk down Bleecker Street, and he would, like, just grab women's asses. Grab their tits. Strange women on the street. And people would like, you know, you could see they're furious, you know, some strange man. And they'd look at him. And the minute they would look at this guy, it would be like, all the tenseness went out of them. They might still say, what are you doing? But they didn't mean it anymore. You know, so this guy wasn't handsome, you know, because he just used it to be such a pig. But this arm reception is just so gorgeous. Anyway, I don't know what, she has a summer house. She's been going away like every weekend, right, with like five girls and five guys. And I said to her the other day, what are you going to do? It's going to rain the whole weekend. And she just laughed. She said, I don't know. We're five girls and five guys. We could probably find something to do. So when you're young and you're looking to have fun, you know, you find something to do. Which in my, you know, in my life, that usually involved a lot of drinking. And then, you know, what comes from drinking? Screwing. There you go. But her mother might be listening, so I don't want to say anything. Did anybody try to watch those Video Music Awards? Oh, my God. That's all I... See, my attention was divided. But had it been good, it wouldn't have been divided. I wasn't going to miss the last hour of Michael Savage, you know, from 8 to 9. Apparently started really before 8, but we'll get to that later. So, you know, Michael Savage would go into a commercial and I would turn the sound up on the TV. What a life we live. What a life. And the TV, I'm sitting in front of the computer with the radio on, the TV on, the remote on and off, up and down. And, you know, Justin Twinkletoes looks fine. Gorgeous. Who came out with him? There was somebody dancing with him. I don't want to insult. I know I have some younger listeners in there. I just can't get into this whole Thug Life thing. I'm sorry, Snoop Dogg. I can't be in. It's not for me. Just not for me. I'm sorry. You know, it may be a perfectly viable kind of music. It may be the street poetry of the 21st century and all of that. Not for Lynn. And I think if I was 25, it still wouldn't be for me. I like a melody, you know. Sorry. So it's so much about Thug Life. So it's so much rap. What wasn't was so lame. I like Jack Black. But lame hardly begins to describe it. It was just terrible. He was terrible. He wasn't funny. He dyed his hair. He was like red. What was that? You know, and then he's setting himself on fire, and I'm going, you just had a baby. You know, should you be standing and setting yourself on fire? Accidents can happen. It's only hit and run. So he was lame. Justin looked fine. You know, Justin, you know, I could live without his singing, but I turned the sound off. I actually was listening to Michael Savage and watching Justin in this beautiful gray suit dancing. That was fine. I don't need to hear him sing. Who else did I... Oh, well, Shakira. Who needs to hear Shakira? Who needs to hear Shakira? Our mayor, our little wimpy old mayor, was drooling on her the other day. Drooling on this woman. Because this woman does not have to sing. She doesn't have to do it. And she's had children, hasn't she? She's like even beyond the cool factor. But she's gorgeous. She has a beautiful body. Beautiful face. All right. So she was fine. Then who else did I catch? They had Sarah Silverman like coming in and out. But very lame material. Very lame, Sarah. Sorry. You know, she's the cool hip comedian now. But no, didn't do it for me. And, oh, then I saw that band, OK Go. The ones on the exercise machines. What the fuck was that? Which made me think, stop with the choreography. You know, if you had like something like Good Music, you could stop singing while you're on some exercise, which apparently is what the video was. Now, one article about these said, MTV plays music videos? When do they play them? How do they even have video music awards? When they play them on now, MTV 63? They never show music videos. And nobody cursed, and nobody, you know, waved their dick around, or took their titties out, or nothing. It was like nothing. The music sucks, the people suck, nobody's interesting. So then at 9 o'clock, Michael Savage goes off. So I say, all right, now I can watch this. But you can't watch it. So then I said, all right, I'll turn on Grey's Anatomy. Well, that was the end of that. You know, because Grey's Anatomy, every week you have to sit there and say, which wonderful patient's going to die? And this week it was between the guy who needed the heart transplant. These shows are so stupid. It's like House. You know, House is the exact same show every week. You know, he's going to come back at the beginning of the new season, which I believe is Monday. Is it Monday or Tuesday? I think it's this coming week. Perhaps the same day that we all get to see Katie Couric. What was that last night? Bob Schieffer brings her on, and what are they trying to appeal to? The perverts who like little girls in Catholic school uniforms? Look at the picture on Drudge. She's wearing a little black pinafore with a little white blouse. It looked better when it was bigger. But what is that? That's for the perps who like the little girls in the little uniforms, right? Who like the women dressed up like little girls. That's like the John Mark Carr look she's had last night. Maybe Bob Schieffer himself likes that. What do I know? He's going back to cover the White House. He's getting out of town when she takes home. So, Grey's Anatomy, and it's always the nicest patient who dies. Last week they had a kid with a deformed face, and he wanted an operation to make, he was like 14 years old, so his face wouldn't be deformed. So, you don't believe me, I haven't watched that many of them. I'm watching the reruns every Thursday to get into when they move it to Thursday. So you knew he was going to die. He was the nicest person on the whole episode, and he did. So this week we had the guy who needed the heart transplant, and him and the doctor were in love with each other. I still don't have the characters straight, but that usually takes about 6 years. And then there was the wonderful woman who had a brain aneurysm, and her marriage had been horrible, you know, like totally taken for granted. Her husband didn't notice she was alive till she got the aneurysm. And then he realized how much he loved her. So she didn't want to have an operation. She said, I don't want an operation. Then it'll go back to you won't pay any attention to me. I'd rather, like, have fun now and die. So you're going, who's going to die? The heart transplant guy, the brain aneurysm. And they fooled you. Nobody died. Although Sandra O'Neill killed a baby. But, you know, what the hell? It was a very obnoxious baby. I could see that. So I was going back to the, you know, Video Music Awards. But then I got, like, too into Grey's Anatomy so that I didn't even want to go back during the commercials in case I would miss something. You know, because you don't want to miss when the person dies. So I missed what apparently, this tells you all you need to know about the Video Music Awards list. You know who the hit of the whole show was? Everybody says this. The hit of the MTV Video Music Awards was Al Gore, who came and gave some lecture about global warming. And then he said, maybe Crooks and Lawyers, it wasn't up this morning. I was looking too early. Then he said, oh, I heard they said sex. I wasn't going to come. But I heard they said sexy was back this year. So I came. And that, according to every single person said that was the highlight of the Video Music Awards. There you go. What a disaster. And I never got to go to the Sirius gift suite. That's all I wanted was another pair of Uggs. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146.
46.
Oh, so that fabulous lawyer, that guy Mel Sachs, who I had met several times in my life. I know he's pretty much just a New York guy, I guess. He was Little Kim's lawyer. And he wore these fabulous, like, old-fashioned suits. And everybody loved him. See, he died. He was younger than me. But he died like, here, you want to hear how to die? Mel, you have cancer. 4 days later, oh, he's dead. There you go. There you go. I mean, it's not good that he died, but if you're going to die of cancer, that seems like a nice time frame. That gives you enough time to say bye. These teenage kids, that's sad. But he had enough time to say goodbye to every... I'm sure they OD'd him. I'm sure. I bet a million... Only Pavarotti thinks he's recovering from this. He does, you know, like fucking asshole. Anyway. All right. Oh, the Al Gore thing isn't on Crooks and Lawyers. All right. But Al Gore, you know, he went on... I'm sure it's on YouTube. We probably don't need to hear it. Look it up. See if you can find it on YouTube. Please. I have some fabulous... Oh, Jesus. There sort of is no news, but there's a lot of news. But it's the kind of news that not only don't you want to talk about it, you don't want to think about it. When the news gets so depressing that you don't even want to think about it anymore. That's where I am with the news. It's like a nice holiday weekend where, of course, in New York, it's going to pour rain at least tomorrow. And there's not a decent movie to see. Wicker Man, they wouldn't even show to the critics, which is always a bad sign. Always a bad sign. But I'm going, it's Neil LaBute. How bad could that be? But you go to Rotten Tomatoes, and somehow 7 people did manage to see it, and 5 of them hated it. And I remember watching the original Wicker Man. I had no idea what it was about. You know, they got to some ending, and I'm like, what? I swear to God, I want to go see The Illusionist again. I am so obsessed. That's a movie. It's going to come out on video. I'm going to buy it and never look at it again. It's like The Lord of War. I said to the guy at my video store, because he has such a tiny store, that when he has a movie that comes out on video, right, and it's a dud, like nobody rents it, he will sell it after like 3 weeks. He just sells everything. Because there's no way on earth he could keep all these movies. So I said to him, you're going to sell Lord of War, aren't you? And he said, yeah, probably. And I said, make sure you sell it to me. And he sells them for like $12, you know. And you know nobody rented it, or he wouldn't be selling it so soon after it came out. Who is that? That's Scott again. That's Scott. Every time Scott walks by with anybody, we think it must be a gigantic movie star. But I'll tell you one thing. That was not Michael Douglas, whoever that was. She thinks I recognized her. I adore when that happens. I have no idea who she was. Well, anyway, so like I have Lord of War, which was, you know, the last movie I guess I was that obsessed with after The Illusionist. So then there's Crank. But I'm not in the mood for that. Little Miss Sunshine, but you wait for the video on that. So I'm going to go shopping today. But like you feel like the whole weekend is ruined. If it's going to rain. I'm already saying, oh, what are you going to do over the weekend? Well, Saturday when it's pouring rain, I think I'll pull all the furniture out from the walls and I'll wash my woodwork. Now, that sounds like a good thing to do on Labor Day weekend, doesn't it? I'll labor. Because a couple of times a year, you have to pull the furniture out, and you have to take dishwashing soap, I guess. Right? You can't take pine sol. That'll take the paint off. And you have to, like, just pretend you washed your woodwork. Which is kind of stupid when you think about it, because if you have to pull the furniture out from the walls to wash the woodwork, that would lead you to believe nobody ever sees your woodwork. And if nobody ever sees it, why would you have to wash it? But you do! Nonetheless! So that's all I can think of to do tomorrow. I could take all the clothes out of my closet again and rearrange them. That's one of my favorite. I love to do that. You take everything out of 4 closets. Right? And then, you know, always in the back of your mind, oh, I could throw something out and make some room. But of course, that never happened. You know, throw out one T-shirt. You say, oh, wow. And then you put everything back into the four closets. I have four closets. They're small, but they're four. Do you know what it is to live in New York City in any borough and have four closets? It's like God smiled on me. But I wish I had another closet because they're all full. It's terrible. It's just terrible. But I keep finding things. That's the other fun, you know, about having all this crap shoved in these closets. Is you find things. And it's like, I wore this top the other day. I'm sure Garrett, that red and blue striped one with the buttons on the shoulder. That wasn't a T-shirt. It was like a real top. Like a woman's, made for a female person. And I forgot I had that. That just reappeared. You know, things, it's like, you know how little animals are in the silt at the bottom of a lake? You know, in fact, it's how life began. You know, there would be like a little amoeba in the silt at the bottom of a lake, and it would work its way to the top, and it walked out on land, and suddenly it had legs. That's how I find clothes. Things are buried, like at the bottom. And they work their way up, and they come out on dry land. And they say, here's the top, you forgot you even had it. So I was happy. I can amuse myself. So easily. You put on BBC One on Sirius, right? And then you just take everything out of your closets and you wash your woodwork. There's woodwork in my closet. I really ought to wash the woodwork in my closets. There's woodwork around the bottom of my closet. I don't know. I'm sure other people have much more interesting things to do. Would you rather I told you the news? You wouldn't. I'm sitting here looking at my own website. My own website. I want to, like, it makes you want to, oh, I'll go home and I'll get a knife and I'll slit my throat because it's just hopeless! Hopeless! There's Iran and, oh, Jesus, I don't understand this. Now Russia's going to let us have sanctions and the IAEA is against them. And the Washington Times, which you can't believe a word they say, oh, they have enriched uranium. You know, it's the same crap from before, you know, except that yesterday, apparently, Newt Gingrich came out and said we shouldn't attack Iran. And, you know, he's still on that board that advises the president, that secret, oh, God, what is it called? The defense? And they had some name. He was one of the people who told him to go attack Iraq. I can't read. There's a bunch of fucking assholes telling the other fucking asshole what to do. That's what it is. Did you hear the promo on Alex's show this morning for the Christian Talk Channel? You can have it on when your children are in the car without worrying. It literally said that. It's not like Lynn Samuels is going to start yelling fucking assholes. See, so maybe you want to check out our Christian Talk Channel. Oh, and there is a story. This is one of the few stories from Raw Story Original. All right, if you swallowed the wrong way and you're choking, should you drink something? Probably not. Did I put up? Supposedly, on the press plane yesterday, you know, when, where was he flying from? Salt Lake City to Texas? I don't know where this idiot is. They didn't make a formal announcement. This apparently kind of slipped out yesterday on the press plane. That on September the 11th, which I wish fell on a weekend, what are we supposed to do? I'm not acknowledging it. You know, it's like any other day to me. You know, unfortunately, September 11, 2001 was right in the middle of the happiest time of my life. I wish it would come back. That's how selfish I am. Yeah. 2 years behind me and 2 years in front of me. That was it. It was literally right in the middle of the happiest time I ever had in my whole life. Supposedly, on the fifth anniversary of September 11th, Bush is going to all three sites. All three! To spew forth God only knows what babble. I mean, as if yesterday, what was he talking about? I couldn't even play sound clips. I don't know. Everything has got to be focus grouped. It has to have all been run through a focus group. Because I have never heard, for 1 minute they're fascists and the next minute they're communists. You know, it's nothing like fascism. It's nothing like communism. What is he talking about? But they have these words that they know resonate with people. It's just, I'll tell you, there is, however, one right-wing conspiracy theory, total right-wing, that I totally, absolutely agree with. And another one happened, that guy in San Francisco. Did you hear about that guy in San Francisco that got behind the wheel of an SUV and ran down 19 people, killed one of them? And I'm going, oh my God, what's his name? Well, I forgot his name, actually. It's a mirror of something, Popal. He's an Afghan guy. And that story broke, and you hear Michael Savage saying, they're going to say he's psychotic, and I'm saying this is a terrorist attack. And that's exactly what happened. They say the guy is paranoid, schizophrenic, and blah, blah. But I'll tell you something. Remember I told you about that article by that girl Cinnamon Watkins in the San Francisco Chronicle, where she took all these instances, starting with July of 2002, when the crazy man went up to the El Al counter at LAX and shot people. And it was the student a few months ago who was some kind of Arab, just ran people over on a campus. Now, I'm telling you something. I certainly have nothing against Muslims, and I have nothing against Arabs, and it is obvious that every one of these people who did this, they're all insane. Each one of them is an insane person, right? But the fact remains that they are terrorist attacks. They are! Why does a terrorist attack have to be by a bunch? Why does it have to be by a bunch? This guy, although they're saying this has nothing to do with terrorism, they have witnesses who said that he said he was making a terrorist attack. So, in my mind, does not reflect badly on Arab people or Muslim people or anything like that. But to pretend these are not terrorist attacks is really, you know, somewhat disingenuous. Now I probably offended somebody and I didn't mean to. But I absolutely believe it. You know, Michael Savage is crazy, but he's not all that crazy. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Sirius Left, 146.
Oh, I know why. Because MTV's probably threatening to sue people. Because they have, it's still up. I know where it is. It's on their website. They have the whole uncut VMAs. I don't know. If they don't have it broken up, it wouldn't even be worth it to go look for it, would it? Try going to MTV and seeing if you can find Al Gore. That's why nobody put it up. The Al Gore thing from the VMAs. Because it is, I read, they tried so hard also. It was so pathetic. They tried so hard to make that show interactive. You know, MTV has been around 25 years. Give up, you're not hip. That's it. Give up. And I don't want to be mean because he really is a smart guy and everything. But if Kurt Loder doesn't watch out, Kurt Loder is going to become Joan Rivers. How does that man... He has been on MTV since the day it started, right? Absolutely, because I remember Kurt Loder when it's... Okay, 25 years, and he was no spring chicken then. This guy has got to be really close to my age. How does he have not a line, not a mark? Oh, my God. When is Kurt Loder? What is going to be the magic moment when he turns right into Joan Rivers right before your very eyes? There you go. And I'm 64. You know. So there you go. Let me tell you something. The guy does not have a line, not a crevice, not a crease, not a mark. And that's fine. That looks all right for a while. It looks all right for a while, Kurt, but one day you're going to have one shot, one cut too many, and they're going to go, oh, my God, that's Joan Rivers. Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Kurt Loder. That's what's... Oh, this is... All right, can I go back? I'm usually the one who has all the news going forward. But first of all, as I said, the news, there's no, like, exciting news. There's just the depressing news. But I must go back to the Emmys. To the Emmys, okay? Why were the Emmys in August? Remember I asked that question several weeks ago? Why were the, yeah, I think Arafat found something. Well, Al Gore never saw a person with their shirt off. That he always looks very uncomfortable. Garrett says Al Gore looks very uncomfortable with the Jackass guys talking to him with their shirts off. They have a new movie coming out, Jackass 2. So, I asked a couple. Remember, I told you a couple of weeks ago that I said the Emmys are never in the summer. What is that about? This friend of mine is saying they're always now. And this is the person I know who I really believe is smarter than I am and is right about 99.9% of the time. So I it's a waste of time arguing with this person, you know, because they're right so often. So I gave up. But I started this Sunday looking up the Emmys, right? And the Emmys have never been before Labor Day. The Emmys have always been the 18th, 19th, 20th of September. But then I solved the mystery. Because Emmys were on NBC this year. And starting this, and they apparently, you know, would die if they weren't on a Sunday night. And the football, they have Sunday night football on NBC. And the Sunday night football begins on Sunday night, September the 10th. So I know this is meaningless, but it was driving me insane. It was driving me insane. So that solved the mystery of why they had to put the Emmys on before Labor Day. It's because every Sunday night has a football game. The Sunday night, you know, it would have been, I guess, the 17th. So I just felt like a load lifted off my mind. I did. It was annoying me. It was very annoying to me. Bush is going to visit all three sites. Oh, my God. You'll be happy to know that those Edgar, how do you pronounce it? Munch? That I don't think that is how you pronounce it. I think that's the way you think you pronounce. And he, you know, the Scream, of which there are actually more than one. He apparently liked painting that. That wasn't. But 2 years ago, somebody stole one of his screen paintings and some other painting. And son of a bitch, they got them back. Son of a gun. They had apparently, I don't know why I wasn't up on this, they had apparently caught the guys, but not the paintings. And it took them, I guess the guys didn't want to tell where the paintings were. But whatever it is, they got the paintings back, and they're damaged a little bit, but not that much. So that's always nice when there's like a nice end to a story, and it's not some horrible thing. It's not like those paintings from Isabella Stewart Gardner. Jesus, when were those stolen? 1990-something. You're never going to get to see those again. And those are real paint, you know. I don't want to insult you Norwegians or Swedes or whatever you are, but I think a Rembrandt and a Vermeer. So you get the feeling a Rembrandt and a Vermeer you might be more interested in finding than a scream painting. Please. You know, we could have my audience take bets on this. My favorite painter. Every year I buy, well, it's not the same calendar, but it is a calendar by the same artist. For several years it was Vermeer. But then I switched. And I switched to Edward Hopper, whose paintings I just love more than anything. Not all of them. I don't like the lighthouse. It's September is the lighthouse. He has all those paintings of like the diners with the neon lights with the one lady sitting at the counter. Everybody knows Edward Hopper. I mean, you may not know you know Edward Hopper, but you know Edward Hopper. The lady sitting all alone in a hotel room. It's always people either all by themselves, or if there are two people in a painting, they're separated. You know, it's all about alienation and loneliness and, you know, all of that stuff. Existentialism. You know, Bush will explain it to you because he read The Stranger. So I just love Edward. I love him. I love him. I love him. And they have got a show of Hopper paintings at the Whitney, which I hate, which is the ugliest building I've ever seen. It's that art museum, that one in the circle. Oh, hideous. They have his... Now, they apparently always have his paintings, because I had gone to one exhibition of his paintings. But they keep them in storage or something. So they schlepped out a bunch of them, and they have the painting and the sketches. But they are just... You know, I'll tell you something. I, believe me, know less than nothing about art. Except for what I like. You know, that cliche. But there's nothing like seeing a painting in person. It is nothing like looking at a picture of a painting. It really isn't. It really is not the same thing. To see it in person, you could fall over dead from how beautiful some paintings are. The Vermeers, a Rembrandt. To see a real Rembrandt, you could drop that on the floor. You really could. All right, so this exhibition I read about 2 weeks ago, which was mid-August. It is there until about the 3rd of December. Am I ever going to get my ass there? Garrett bets no. I don't know. It depends on how cold it gets in November. Or October. And it's also in like a really shitty spot. It's like in a place that is so annoying to get, except it's four blocks away from the sports store. So see, now this may make Garrett even change his mind. This I could get in shopping and the art museum at the same time. But I think I'd have to do it on a Friday night, because I learned one thing. You don't want to go to an art museum on the weekend. When I didn't work 5 days a week, I was into a big art museum thing, but I always went during the week. Because an art museum, when it's crowded, is just horrible. It's worse than a Crowder movie. Oh, I better take a break. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146. Oh, my God. Somebody sent me an email yesterday with the most perfect description of Tom Hartman. Now, Tom, of all of us on Sirius Left, I don't want to sound nasty, he is the most intelligent and well-educated person. But somebody, you want to hear the most perfect description of Tom Hartman? Somebody said to me, I love to listen to him, but you always feel like there's going to be an exam. And I think that's because he's a teacher. But that really is true. That's the best description of Tom I ever heard in my life. You feel like he is going to give you a final. Here. You want another miserable piece of news? Death squads and terrorists have ramped up attacks on civilians in Iraq, killing more than 1,600 people in cold-blooded execution-style slayings in July alone. 64 yesterday. Iraq casualties up 51% in June to August, attacks up 15%. However, this Pentagon report assures everybody that there's not a civil war in Iraq. 64 people got killed yesterday alone. 1,600 people in the month of July. But the report concluded this isn't a civil war, and movement toward a civil war can be prevented. What do you call? I mean, you know, people are sitting here having semantic discussions. It is a civil war. It's not, 64 people got blown up yesterday in these coordinated, it was all coordinated, like all over, in all different places. All at the same time. But it's not a civil war. Don't worry about it. Everything's fine. And it is the central part of the war on terror. And if we don't keep fighting them over there, they're going to be in Safeway and Publix. Remember what Kurt Weldon said. And Bush keeps saying, if we don't fight them there, we're going to have to fight them over here. And what's his name? Conrad Burns. He says, by day they drive taxi cabs, by night they kill people. Just bash another Muslim today. Bash a Muslim for Christ. Jeez. Oh, we have another hour of this. Oh, I have just, wait, Walt Disney is spying on you now, too. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left. Be right back. Hey, ballerina. Be this way. Oh, this is the hour. I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. Should I go to Bed Bath & Beyond? Should I go to the Uptown one or the Downtown one? Should I buy another pillow? You know, since we've already eliminated all the movies, I don't want to see them. I don't know. What do I want to do at 3 o'clock? And why should you people care? That isn't what the show is supposed to be about. You want to hear the most amazing story? Maybe this is amazing only to me, but this is one of those, the internet is a miracle stories. In 77? Yeah, it would have to be 1976, something like that. Right? 1975 maybe. Like 30 years ago. That still hurts me to say that. Alright. I had one of the weirdest jobs. I mean, I've had many weird jobs, but this was one of the weirdest. The first time Rupert Murdoch owned the New York Post, because this is the second time he owned it. He owned it once. And then I don't know what happened. How's the sandwich? I sent Gara to this restaurant I read about. He can't even tell me how it is because his mouth is full. I don't know. If you're speaking to me, I can't hear you. Oh, it's kind of dry. It's been sitting there for hours. Garrett makes his lunch last like 2.5 hours. I eat like that. I eat like that anytime, like, you know, not when I'm in a restaurant, but, you know, like at home. I can take like 3 hours to eat dinner. You know, like I can make a hamburger and then later on I make a vegetable. Because that way you never stop eating, you know, so you think maybe you're not going to eat things full of calories, but I always find time for the ice cream somehow. All right. So I had this job. Rupert Murdoch had people all over New York selling the New York Post out on the street corner. Right? I've told this before. But all over New York. Nancy Redmond, who's a comedian who never got famous, but she works. You see her name. She was one of the people selling newspapers. And I was working then at that left-wing crazy people station, WBAI. And one person at BAI found out about this job. And it ended up that half of us who worked there stood outside in Manhattan selling the New York Post. And my corner was 57th Street and 5th Avenue, which is a very fancy schmancy corner of New York. There was an I. Miller shoe store there at the time. I forget what's there now, but it was a very fancy shoe store. And I got written up in the Village Voice by Jules Feit. Nobody knew I was on the radio, which is really funny. But I would make up, you know, these funny sayings every day for the paper. You know, with the headlines and, you know, I was always trying to be amusing. And we did this from like, I don't know, 4 to 7. And I lasted about 22 months because it got to a point where I was going to have to spend like the second winter and I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. It was just too cold. Do you know what it is to stand outside for 3 hours? In the dead of winter, you could die. And this fancy shoe store, I must give them credit. They let me step inside their vestibule. And you know what you dress like when you have to stand outside in that kind of car? I mean, I dress like this just having to be alive in New York in the winter. But you're wearing like 17 layers of clothing and 2 hats. And, you know, you really look like a street person. And this store actually, because they know you, you know, you're standing in front of this store every day and they probably wish you weren't, but, you know, it's America. Well, it was then. Now they probably just shoot you and say you were a terrorist or something. They used to let me come in their vestibule, which had heat. And that would have been the line where they could say, no, you can't stand in here, not even for 1 second. You know, because that's their private property. So they were very nice. So, you know, you're standing out there going, New York Post, get your post final. 25 cents. It was the same price 30 years ago that it is today. Would that everything were. Get your post final. And in nice weather, because she didn't have to do it in the bad weather, there was this girl. Standing next to me, who made pins. She made these really nice pins, and she sold them on the street. And the way she displayed them was she would have an umbrella, and she would stick the pins in the umbrella. So, you know, like if the cops would come, because what she was doing was not legal. We were legal because it's freedom of the press. But she could just fold up her umbrella and walk away. And they were very nice pins. And if you had asked me 3 days ago what her name was, I never could have told you, even her first name. But her name was Kathy Fell, I know, F-E-H-L. And she was the person that when I was standing there having this conversation with Dustin Hoffman, and I had no idea that the person I was talking to was Dustin Hoffman, her mouth is like hanging down to the ground, you know. She's like in awe. because she was a playwright. You know, she was an aspiring playwright when we were all young. And she knew it was Dustin Hoffman. But I didn't. Well, do you know that the other day I get home and I go to my LynnSamuels@hotmail.com account, and son of a bitch, I got an email from her. I got an email from this girl that I have not seen in 30 years. And it's just, hi, you probably don't remember the girl with the pins on the umbrella next to you when you were selling the New York Post. But I do remember her. She reminded me of something. Do you know who else stopped by and we had a whole conversation with and it had totally, I had forgotten? This is amazing, because she was a playwright. This, Arthur Miller. I believe she had the whole conversation with Arthur Miller. But it's true, Arthur Miller. So that was one of those things where you go, isn't the internet just the most amazing thing on the face of this earth? Here was a person, I didn't really know her. We weren't friends. I never saw her. I didn't know. And she now lives out, I forget what state. I forget what state she's in, like Wisconsin. You know, one of those real states that's, you know, like actually in America. You know, and she has 12 acres and a farm and, you know, a business. And she doesn't really write anymore. But it is just so amazing to me what the internet does. Now, I'm sure the internet can put you in touch with people you really never want to hear from again. I'm sure it could have a bad side. But I have never actually experienced that bad side. I've just experienced the, what a miracle this is. You know, that somebody can say hello from that long ago. And I trust she isn't going to be putting my email address on some list that she keeps, like somebody else who contacted me who I knew even longer ago than that. Oh, God, why did I ever answer this person? And I am now on the list of all the jokes and the idiocy that this woman, Anita, forwards to people. She just put me on that list. Oh, here's a funny one. Oh, Christ, the merciful heaven. Not one of them has ever... Oh, that's her son. That's your son. Everybody, what is that? It's like everybody's kids go back to school next week. So they all had to come up to Sirius this week. It's like Sofa, but her son's like, oh, he's going to be hot. He's like an awkward teenager. He's like 14 or something, 13. He's tall, but he's young. He's going to be good looking. He's nice looking. She's going to have girls calling her house any minute. So, actually, oh, I don't want to, you know something, look at these headlines. Look at my website. Look at my website and weep. Just look at my website and weep. Disney fingerprint upgrade raises privacy concerns. FBI tracks student loan databases. Oh, there's a new one. Didn't know that. You know all those terrorists getting those student loans. Truckers and bus drivers on the lookout for suspicious activity. Now, that story has popped up for years, right? About how there's a course that a trucker and a bus driver can take so you can find the... Has anybody in this country... Would you... Where are the terrorists we found by this endless spying? The worst sentence in this truckers and bus drivers on the lookout for suspicious activity, which I apologize, has been up since yesterday, but, you know, there's not all that much happening. The worst sentence in this story, which is from USA Today yesterday. That's why I didn't talk about it yesterday, because then I would have had to have said it's in USA Today today. I'm wearing those fabulous sneakers. I got those camouflage Reeboks. That I was sitting on the subway. This is so funny. I'm wearing these camouflage Reeboks, and I'm wearing, like, everything I'm wearing is, like, you know, army green or something. I don't know why I'm so into this, but I am. And there was an anchor baby sitting across from me. She's like the woman, you know, and you can tell. And she's got an infant she's holding. And she has her two anchor children sitting next to her, which is annoying because they didn't pay their fare, which means why are they taking up two fucking seats? And, you know, why are they citizens? And why don't you and your three fucking children get out of my country, lady? But the little anchor boy is 3, 4. It's a very little boy. And the kid is dressed head to toe in camo. Right? And I'm sitting there dressed all in green. And I've got on kind of a military style hat. And I'm wearing a sweatshirt because it's only September 1st, but it's very chilly here. And I am wearing my camouflage sneakers. And that little anchor boy could not take his eyes off of my sneakers. And I'm sitting there going, I am 64 years old. He's 4. And we're dressed the same. We're, like, dressed exactly the same. Me and the 4-year-old anchor boy. So I don't know what that says. It certainly says something probably negative about me. Why am I dressed like a 4-year-old boy? Well, I certainly hope somebody's teaching him to speak English, since he invaded my country in the womb. But he was looking at these sneakers. And you know, you can tell when somebody is just staring at something. It's like how my mother says, nobody cares that your feet are deformed. And yet I know that when I wear sandals, people look at my feet because they're so bizarre looking. But this kid, he could not take his eyes off the camo sneaker. And I was in that Reebok store last week, and you know something? It was like God wanted me to have these sneakers. You know why? I don't know how long they were in that store, but they're not there anymore. I happened to walk into that Reebok store during the month, maybe, that they had these sneakers. Anyway. All right, FBR. Oh, so the worst line in this truckers and bus drivers on the lookout for suspicious activity is, well, you know, I'm in the cab of my truck, you know, and now I've been trained, you know, to be looking for terrorists. I can see into most of the cars. And the it's like when I ride the Greyhound bus to New Jersey. It's fabulous. You can see everything everybody's doing in their car. You know, you think when you're driving, you see people pick their nose. Please, I've seen blow jobs, hand jobs, you know. You can see everything going on. And sometimes, said this truck driver, that somebody should smack him. I see people doing drugs in their car, and now I have a phone number I can call and report them. What a scumbag. You know, you got trained, and you have this phone number for terrorists, not to turn in people doing drugs. Mr. Holier Than Thou, don't you just hate that? Isn't that just shitty? Did they now have a number? Oh, how wonderful. They got trained to find terrorists, but they can turn in somebody for doing drugs. And they get arrested. This is going to be like, what country? What was that country with that Ceausescu? Romania, where they had the whole country, everybody was spying on everybody. So we have that headline, the FBI tracks student loan databases. Chernoff backs air traveler security. Now, this is a fabulous story. I'll tell you when we get back. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146. Oh, this looks good. See, every now and then an ad on a website, you say, I want one of these. A Bic Duo. Have you seen a Bic Duo? It's a pen and a highlighter all in one. Write and highlight without missing a beat. Sounds like something you'd want. Did they have the highlighter right there? I love pens. I love pens and notebooks. This is my time of year. All right. So, you know, they want to have this trusted traveler thing where, as it started out, now that what's interesting about this article, about this trusted traveler, is how it's changing from what they told you it was going to be in the first place. Now, among other things, they can't even get this thing going. You know, this is another one of these 5 years after 9/11. You know, and they can't fill in that hole in the ground. He apologized again yesterday, Ray Nagin. He's in New York now, you know. He's begging for money. So he went on New York One. And he although every single person says he shouldn't have said hole in the ground, but the point he was making was right on target. 5 years later, and they can't figure out who's supposed to get all the kickbacks and the graft and the corruption. If anybody ever wonders why nothing is built on ground zero, it's not just the whining family members with the weeping. That's the excuse. Believe me, if they can get all their graft and corruption, do you think they give a shit about the family members of the dead people? If everybody was getting all the graft, corruption, underhanded money that they thought they could get their hands on, do you think they would care for one instant what the family members of the dead people were moaning and complaining about every minute? They wouldn't give. They'd say, oh, God, fine, I got the $2 million. Shut up! So, Ray Nagin, you know, his choice of words may have been, unfortunate, but his point was well taken. And you know how he knows, because that's what's going on in New Orleans. They gotta get the graft and corruption. You see how racist that is when you think about it? Because he goes, that's so corrupt in New Orleans. Oh, excuse me. We wouldn't know about that in New York, where everybody's named Bloomberg and Silverstein. We certainly wouldn't understand corruption and graft. All right. So Michael Chertoff has strongly backed this Trusted Traveler program, which basically is you give the government every piece of personal information about yourself. Right? And you pay a couple of $100s, because this will cost, you know, you have to pay to be on this. And the way it was originally described was then you get a special card. This would be people who fly a lot, you know, who really are constantly inconvenienced, you know, by this endless, you know, bullshit security. And you'd get a special card, and there'd be a special line at the airport, and you could just zoom through, right? Because you couldn't possibly be a terrorist, because they would have checked your everything, you know, way too much about you. Well, of course, they can't get it going. Probably, says Michael Chertoff, registered traveler will be the first step because it's voluntary. And what would be the next step? Would that be not voluntary? You know, or do we get to where, well, you know, they can make something so onerous. They could make traveling so onerous that if you don't pay $200 a year, it would be so onerous to travel that you wouldn't want to try. You know, they can turn something and have it voluntary, but make it so necessary that it really isn't voluntary. You know, it's going to be like when before we all have to have a chip. I'll probably be dead by then. Garrett, you know, it'll be, well, you know, you don't have to get an implanted chip, Garrett, but it'll take you 30 minutes to check in every day downstairs. Everybody without the chip, it'll be about a 30-minute wait to check it. So, you know, it's voluntary, but of course it isn't. It would be a private program, yeah, run by the airports, the airlines, and contractors. That's even better, because then they'd all have every piece of information about you. The airlines, the contractors. I think Steve Brill is running one. And they said you'd be pre-screened. And it was already supposed to be functioning, but of course, you know, it's not. Travelers would pay $80 to $100. Oh, Steve Brill. They mentioned Steve Brill. And they're totally behind it. Okay. Brill recently signed a contract to run registered travelers at one of the 9 terminals at Kennedy. Chertoff said, now get this, the first idea was you have a separate, like you paid money. You have given up all your information to Steve Brill, you know, and the government, God knows who else, okay? And you've gotten the card, so you don't have to wait online. Listen to the last paragraph. You have to read to the last fucking paragraph of this. Chertoff said registered travelers might not get faster security lines if the enrollment is too high. Listen to what crap. The whole point, then why would you pay $80 to $100 and give up all your information? For what? What would be the point in registering? They might not get faster security lines if enrollment is too high. The main benefit would be that travelers would by and large, but not totally, be exempt from additional searches and questioning. Okay? But then here's the last line. They might not initially have other security procedures waived, such as removing shoes and coats. So they have now just totally removed any motivation to participate in this. What would be your motivation to pay money to Stephen Brill if too many of you do it, you still don't get a shorter security line? And at the beginning, you'd still have to probably take off your shoes. And you would only, by and large, be exempted from additional searches. The reason I would want to do this would be exactly what at this point? Why? Because it's not going to be voluntary much longer. That's why. So it's just that you won't have to join the long line of people trying to register when they make it mandatory. That would seem to me, but they can't admit that, right? They can't admit that. What kind of load of crap is this? Oh, no, you'll still have to wait. You'll still have to take your shoes. Oh, please, allow me to tell you everything about me. And here, take my money. I have this $100. I couldn't think of a thing to do. All right, so your truck drivers are reporting you if you're smoking a joint in your car. You pay money and you still have a security line and have to take your shoes off. The FBI is tracking student loan databases. This is all on my website. I didn't even deliberately, like, do this. Oh, there's an article. This I had this up yesterday, but you should note this. Pressure for ban on cluster bombs. Yes, I'm not going to end the week without bashing Israel a little bit. You know, Israel dropped the cluster bombs, which are the big bombs that have all the bomblets in them. And people will be dying in Lebanon for years and years and years. They will be. So the organizations, the anti-landmine organizations, because basically this is like putting down landmines, you know. It's semantics, but really that's what it's like. It is legal to use cluster bombs on military targets, but it is not legal under international law. International law. That's for other countries. That is certainly not for a country of the high standards of the state of Israel. Jesus. Certainly not for us anymore either. That's for like pishy country. You know, that's, we're too superior to have to be bonded with this international law shit. I had the story up yesterday. It says September the 1st. Wow. So it is legal to use cluster bombs on military targets, but it is illegal to use cluster bombs on civilian targets because of what's happening in Lebanon, because ceasefire, war's over, haha. You know, and people are blowing up every day. That's why you see the people in Vietnam and Cambodia, so many of them have arms and legs blown off. That's why. I guess that's landmines, but it's... Okay, so these do-good organizations of actual human beings with beating hearts and everything want to totally outlaw cluster bombs, period, the end, anywhere. Just outlaw them, stop making them, cut the shit. So, this is just a little fact that popped up in these stories. The cluster bombs, right? That Israel and Lebanon had agreed to have a ceasefire, right? But they kept fighting. They had a couple extra days to get in their last licks or something. Do you know when nearly all the cluster bombs Israel dropped were dropped? The last 3 days before the ceasefire. What fucking scum. There, I said it. I don't care. What fucking scumbags. They knew they'd have to stop. They knew that the ceasefire was coming and they'd have to stop. So they dropped the bombs that keep on giving. They were nearly all dropped in the last 3 days. And I believe they were all made in this very country that I'm sitting in. Justify it. Call me names. So I can just see them outlawing that. Ha! Don't hold your breath. All right, I actually have a positive story, believe it or not. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146. Can you believe... Wasn't that a riot? That was so funny. Somebody in New Jersey about Mike Malloy.
Oh, it's Malin Jacobson calling.
Oh, okay.
So I was the guy that almost hit the car that day last time I talked.
Oh, fabulous. Are you driving?
No, I'm sitting in a room right now.
Oh, okay. Something will probably fly in your window now.
I know you haven't. You have a big list of things you're talking about, but Bob Malloy has sort of been on my mind since he was fired.
Mike
Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could. Any sort of people thought that he could have possibly had pressure from Washington because he was getting very, distinct with his, the way he put things,
Well, people. people think that? That's he was
very
certainly...
Accurate, very accurate, and he always sort of took an anti-Israeli side because he was thought that it was overkill, you know, with the cluster bombs and that. And that's what I was... You got talking about that, and I was thinking of... Maybe
well, that, look, honey, I believe me, the surest way to kill a career in media is to say stuff like that. And there are people who think it was because... You know, he thinks they did he's into the 9/11 conspiracy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Air America claims that it was money.
Yeah, I don't think it was, though.
But, you know, as I said, I got fired from Walt Disney to ABC once when I was making $25,000 a year, and they said that was because it was money. They couldn't afford it, so... That money thing is usually a crime.
Well, that's usually the excuse they use, but it's not necessary.
I don't think so. I think they was certainly too radical for Air America, where they all have their heads up the ass of the Democratic National Committee.
Democratic Party, there are two different leagues of Democrats, actually. There's the Democratic Leadership Committee, right? And then there's the Democratic
Committee. Yeah, but the fact of the matter is that there is nobody in the Democratic Party, except Cynthia McKinney, who they got rid of, who would have the balls to stand up and say either Bush did 9/11 or Bush knew.
Or Maxine Waters.
Well, yeah, Maxine actually might. Has she said it?
Well, she said a lot of things during the Clinton and during that Clinton impeachment. She was part of that, and they tried to shut her up, and I know she kept speaking up because...
Yeah, but I mean, that Air America, they're not radical. They're not progressive. They're like liberal. They're like little limp dick liberals.
Well, that's why I don't think I'm not going to listen to it anymore, because they keep taking off the ones that are really trying to give us any information that's not this problem.
Oh, there's nobody left. I mean, that's it. Mark Maron, goodbye. And now Mike Malloy, who we didn't even hear in New York anyway for so long.
No, this was only because I had it on the computer. I mean, but, you know, it's like every time you just get somebody who you feel like you're getting information off of, which is not just the drabble that comes from CNN. And I don't even listen. I don't listen to Fox. But, I mean, you know, the other stations.
No, I know. It's like pablum. Air America is like the pablum. And I'll tell you something. This is only relevant, to the caller and me and other people in New York.
Yeah.
If you tune in there, old frequency today, if you tune in 1190, you know,
that's
since
right,
they moved
right. Yeah,
they moved to 1600. They moved to a place, wait till the sun goes down, nobody gets it, nobody will hear them anymore. But do you know what they replaced them with? It's fabulous. It's a gospel station in New York.
Oh yeah, they've been advertising a Christian station.
It's gospel music. I said, you know something? I'm going to stick with 1190, even though they moved. I'd rather hear Shirley Caesar singing nice gospel music than, hear droning Al Franken.
Yeah, well.
Well, thank you, dear.
Okay, Linda.
But I think it's possible that, Mike Malloy said something that pissed people off. This is it. See, the tide has turned. The tide has turned. Hi, William in Cincinnati.
Yes. Well, I was complaining before about you putting Air America down. I guess I got to take it back now because Mike Malloy was one of my favorites.
He was, to me, after they took Mark Maron off, he was the only... You know, Randy, you could listen to Randy for 30 minutes or an hour, maybe.
Yeah, then she starts thinking she's so much. That's the only thing about her. She got the big head after she got a lot of... response to that petition.
Yes, and she, and I shouldn't criticize her for this. Somebody who does a two-hour show shouldn't criticize somebody who does a four-hour show. But she does every day just repeat herself and repeat herself. I mean, that's why I do 2 hours.
Well, I'm on her side, but like you say, you can only listen to some. But without, they switched to XM. The reason I got serious is to hear Air America. Of course, I found you and Tom Hartman.
Then they screwed you by leaving us.
Exactly.
They did it. You know, we didn't get rid of Air America. Air America left Sirius.
Well, so I thought they were in the business of taking spread knowledge, not make money. So I mean,
well, look,
you don't want to go out of business naturally, but you're supposed to. You know, the real motive was to give a new voice, not you know, make.
Well, I get. Look, I can sort of understand it because they're so close to the edge, you know, yeah. that maybe they needed, you know, they really needed the money, and we wouldn't give them the money, and XM would. But I don't think they're going to last. I think they're really on their way out. Who do they have left?
Well, I'm not glad to see that happen, certainly, but I am ticked about Mike Malloy, and I guess I can't complain anymore.
Well, I
you're
don't
doing
know.
A great job, by the
thank
way.
Thank you.
Hey,
thank you.
Way, don't you recall? Remember I said a while back how you your predictions were coming true? You were the first person I had that talked about this car thing. It's being totally phony. You knew he wasn't. He had nothing to do with it. And, of course, it came out during the ruling that Bush was NSA spying was illegal at the same time. So.
Yeah, but it said that, believe me, they're appealing and it'll become legal.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, though, I can get to be smart because I agree with you when you say these things.
Oh, okay. Thank you. The only thing, never listen when I predict who's going to win an election.
Okay, well.
Because, man, I have never been wrong. I'm good on the, like, big things, the big picture. But when it's like, who's going to win, don't pay any attention to me.
Okay? Well, have a great week, Kevin.
Okay, you too. Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting it's... I'm here Monday, and Garrett will be here. All right, I promised you a good story. I promised you a positive story. Oh, well, we had one. They found the screen. They found those paintings. And I'm still looking at all the flea markets for the Vermeer they stole from Boston. There was a student named Zachary Giles in, where was he? New York State, who was wearing one of those Bush t-shirts that said Bush World Domination Tour, and it had alcohol on it and cocaine, and, you know, it was the super-duper anti-Bush shirt of all time. And this kid, he's like 15 or something, and they said to him, you can't wear this in school. And they covered up some of it with duct tape. And then he came in, he kept wearing it with the duct tape on it. And they went to court. The ACLU and everything. And guess what? He won! He won the case!
I hear there's rumors on the internets.
There you go! He won his case. He can wear the anti-Bush t-shirt to school. So that's good. That's good. But, of course, it's a judge somewhere in New York. You know, it's not like Alabama where they go, oh, you want to wear an anti-Bush t-shirt? You know something? They're all in this uproar about this mockumentary about, you know, with the Bush assassination thing, the Canadian, what is it? It's British, but it's going to be at the Toronto Film Festival. So, some website pointed out, do you know what the title of Ann Coulter's last column was? She was writing about this guy, Steve Lafferty, and Lincoln Chafee, because Lincoln Chafee is being challenged as senator in Nebraska, I guess, wherever he is, by somebody so far to the right, by this Steve Lafferty guy. And do you know what the title of Coulter's column was? They shot the wrong Lincoln. Meaning somebody should go shoot Senator Lincoln Chafee. But they're all upset. And I can't remember, and we don't have much time, maybe somebody can remember and call up fast. When Bill Clinton was the president, one of the really old guys in the House of Representatives from a southern state, I can't remember who it was, warned Bill Clinton to stay out of his state. It was like an absolute, I don't know whether he said something about the Second Amendment or he said there were a lot of military place, but it was obviously what this member of the House was saying to Bill Clinton was, if you come to whatever state it is, you're like going to get shot. And that was a member of the House of Representatives, for Christ's sake. So maybe all these people ought to get off their high horse. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146. Okay. Thank you. How many, 3-4 people called? Because I couldn't even look this up. Because you needed, like, the name of the person or the state. Jesse Helms, in 1994, said that if Bill Clinton visited Fort Bragg in North Carolina, he better have a bodyguard. How do you like that? How do you like that? So, this is the party. These are the people that are now all in hysterics because somebody has this thing. And the idea of it is apparently this, what's it called? Death of a Fred Soap? Soap? Something. Whatever they call it. Is a jumping off point, you know, just to show how terrible Bush's policies were. And, you know, so you get rid of him in 2007. I mean, I guess they could have said, well, what's going to happen when he leaves office? But it's more dramatic. And it's apparently a serious movie. But everybody's all up in arms. And was anybody, I remember in 1994, I was horrified. I was so horrified. And pardon me, that Jesse Helms was a senator. He wasn't even a member of the House. That makes it worse. A senator is like, you expect more from a senator. But from Jesse Helms, not so much. Said that Bill Clinton would need a bodyguard if he came to Fort Bragg. And I remember, I literally remember, I mean, obviously not the state or who said it, but I remember being so appalled. I mean, that's the kind of thing you arrest people for. That's like threatening the president, isn't it? So all these people that are so up in arms, you know, like, what are, about this movie? Which is a movie. You know, these people like are living in such a fantasy land that they can't tell the reality from illusion. They think the war in Iraq is like part of the war on terror and we're winning. So how do you expect them to understand that this thing where Bush gets assassinated is like a movie? It's pretend. Because they can't tell the difference. You could show Dave Gorham's daughter, you could show Casey like a movie. She'd know pretend from real better than these people. No, but a United States senator threatened Bill Clinton or Ann Coulter this week apparently writes a column, you know, saying that somebody should kill Lincoln Chafee. You know, but somebody yells at her on television, Sean, I'm leaving. Sean, I'm getting, Sean, where are you? I'm leaving. She got up and walked off his show because somebody yelled at her. Oh, Timothy McVeigh should have bombed the New York Times. This woman has wished more people dead. And I wouldn't lower myself. All right, have a lovely 3-day weekend. I will be here Monday. And hopefully Garrett won't get stuck on a train like he did the last holiday. All right, so I'll be here Monday, but 2 Mondays from that I'm not going to be here. You know, so if we don't all get nuked by Iran, I'll see you on Monday. Thank you, Garrett. Goodbye.